We're going to start in Tennessee to consider the consequences of that no vote announced over the weekend, a move that many see as yet another nail in the coffin for organized labor. Workers at the Volkswagen's Chattanooga plant voted that they did not want representation from the United Auto Workers. Tennessee is a right-to-work state, not generally hospitable to the unions. And the move was opposed every step of the way by Senator Bob Corker, Governor Bill Haslam, many other members of the GOP. Volkswagen has more than 60 plants around the world, but only two plants in China and this one in Tennessee are currently not represented by unions or by workers' councils. The push to unionize the workers failed, and now the question is what this means for other workers across the South and for the UAW itself, whose membership is way, way down over recent years. We'll speak to a concerned Chattanooga mayor in just a minute, but first, Kristen Gicek. She's director of industry and labor at the Center for Automotive Research. She says the union will live to fight another day.
Workers very rarely organize or decide to vote for union over just wages and benefits. You know, they're looking at other issues. And if there are some of those fundamental core issues of, you know, too many temporaries that make people feel their job is not secure, unfairness in the workplace, I think, you know, there's still a chance to organize those other plants. Certainly this was, you know, a neutral upper management at VW and, you know, a good shot at having that works council organization in the plant. So I think, you know, the drive to have a works council in Tennessee is still fairly strong, and the drives to organize other automotive manufacturing plants and suppliers is going to continue for the UAW. It's an absolute survival issue for them. It's not about members and dues. It's about regaining control of setting wages and benefits for this industry.
What do you think it means to the people around Tennessee or working in towns around other plants in the South when they saw sort of the giant outside money campaign? I mean, look, in this day and age, we're used to political races, Senate races, that have money airdropped from Washington, from Wall Street, from other places trying to win races. That's really what happened here. You know, Koch Brothers money, Grover Norquist money from outside coming in. Does this spell something different for the future of union elections, do you think? I mean, this was sort of abnormal in that case.
This was abnormal in that case in a lot of ways. You know, you don't generally have a completely neutral upper management as you did in the VW case. It happens from time to time that there's recognition. But this was a very different situation where the company itself wasn't fighting unionization. Outside third-party interests were. And it would make me wonder, what is in it for them? What is their stake in this election that is between the workers, their company, and the UAW that seeks to represent them?
That's Kristen Gicek. She's director of the Industry and Labor Group at the Center for Automotive Research, with a few questions about the political motives behind those who campaigned so hard for a no vote against the UAW. Well, somebody who can perhaps address that point is Andy Burke. He's the mayor of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Mayor.
Hello, good to be with you.
Now, you ran in a nonpartisan election. You are a member of the Democratic Party, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you heard Kristen Gicek there describing some of the outside money that was airdropped into this race. You know, same question for you since you're on the ground there. We are used to big money from outside in Senate races and, you know, stuff like that. But this was a union election. What does it mean for the local politics or even the Tennessee politics there to have had all of these millions poured into essentially your local issue?
Well, it's really unusual. I think for us, you know, we see Volkswagen as a valued employer in Chattanooga. They are bringing good jobs here, building our middle class, and to see this really amazing political situation play out over the last few weeks where you had outside groups and lots of politicians talking about this really important Chattanooga employer, it was kind of a bizarre situation.
Volkswagen is famous for having sort of, you know, well, for not having opposed this union election. Makes you wonder if maybe they shouldn't have come out for the union. It might have gone differently.
Well, they're really dedicated to this works council concept. They think that having workers and management together builds better cars. And they have 550,000 employees. They've got more than 100 plants around the world. I mean, they seem to know what they're doing. So, you know, I look for them to continue to work on this works council project.
And I want to ask you about that, because the law says, as we understand it, you can't have a works council unless the union is there. Volkswagen executives are on their way to Tennessee to try to negotiate a way to have a works council anyway. Your understanding of the law, is that going to be possible?
Well, I think they're going to look at alternatives. The UAW was certainly one way to do it. They're going to continue to look for other ways to do it. They believe they build better cars and that it's a competitive advantage for them. I mean, I've been in the meetings with executives from Wolfsburg who've looked me in the eye and said, this is a competitive advantage for us. If they think that that helps them build better cars at a cheaper price, I think they're going to continue to look for ways to make it happen.
Well, union representation is up across Tennessee, but in the automotive industry and in the UAW, it's way, way down. Andy Burke is the mayor of Chattanooga, who's been in the middle of this fight over the UAW and Volkswagen. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.